This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Oh, hello. Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello. Depending where you are in the world, this is LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. If you're thinking I'm looking a little bit bruised under the eyes at the moment, it's because of the smashing I got from Dave on the post-match at the week on Friday night. I was being picked on, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Whether you're watching on YouTube, then if you are, thank you very much. Do feel free to join in the chat. Keep it respectful and clean. Please smash the likes as well. It does help the channel. It helps our algorithms. And at my age, my algorithms need all the help they can get. And of course, feel free to subscribe. It is free and that helps the channel just as much. And if you are listening via your favorite podcast platform, thank you so very much. This is brought to you in podcast form in conjunction with TalkSport. Of course it is. Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die. Independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
Pleased to be associated with TalkSport. I've got to say, just before we start tonight, commiserations, but congratulations to Leicester City women. Went out It's probably the story of Leicester season's Leicester City women's season, story of my sex life. A very good start and petering off at the end. But they did lead up until about the 85th minute. But we went out 2-1 in the semi-final of the Women's FA Cup. But it's the first time they've got that far, so well done to them. Chelsea also went out, so we weren't just on our own. I've got to say, I've been all over the Leicestershire Live today and I cannot find that they have given it any mention at all in the sports area. Maybe I'm wrong, but are Leicestershire Live ignoring the women? One woman we can't ignore. And just to say that tomorrow we are going to be, I am going to be interviewing, if you remember 2018 Britain's Got Talent, 35 years ago, of course you do. In the final, there was a group of ladies called D-Day Darlings. And of course, it's the 80th anniversary of D-Day this year, as well as being the 10th anniversary of Surrey Hills Community Radio. And on that day, I will be doing my golden hour will be obviously all wartime special songs. And tomorrow, I'm off for the week from the radio, but having to get up early to do an interview with the D-Day Darlings. Let me bring in, she is a darling. And that's Kate. Good evening. How are you, Kate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am very well, thank you very much. And of course, as the advert says, this is the home of Kate and Dave. We couldn't have Kate. It'd be like having Ronnie Barker with no Ronnie Corbett. If Kate is a D-Day darling, Dave, well, he remembers D-Day. Let's bring him in. Well, I don't know what he's doing there, but Dave.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I was born in rationing times.
Say that again, sorry.
I was born in rationing times.
Wow. Well, I was born just after, so
yeah.
It's still. But talking of rationing, Dave, I know you like your food, so what I've put together for you here, it isn't a video, don't worry, but I have put together a Dave sandwich.
Oh, God.
There we go.
I should be so lucky.
lucky. Yes, Dave's dreams all came true last week. We had two tapes in, and Dave was stuck between them. Kate, you've gone quiet. I mean, tell me your memories of that.
I was trying to help Dave out with some technological issue, and
that's what they call it these days, is it?
And we ended up having two Kates, which nobody needs in their life, really. One is enough.
Dave did. I mean, if I tried it a little bit better, he had a huge grin on his face. But there we go. That is Dave's dream. And of course, we could have a sing song for D-Day, because of course Kate does a very good "We'll Meet Again," don't you, Kate?
Yeah, not tonight though.
No. Dave, get her on the radio station. She likes a good sing song.
Not tonight,
me, don't you? You really do. Right. Look, I managed to survive Friday night, just about. It took me all weekend to recover, but we are going to be looking at, I've called it Enzo's Striker Dilemma. Just before we do, we'll just say a few hellos. Ren is in. Hi, Rennie. How are you? Ben is in. Hi, Ben. You said yesterday, Ben, happy birthday to your dad. Rennie, sorry. Ben, if we're talking about Enzo, I think we need to put two up front and do a 3-5-2. Well, what we need to do and what Enzo will do, look, we were talking about it for 5 years under Rodgers. It only happened for about 10 games. Highfields is in. Hello, Highfields. And from Singapore, hello, Andrew. Good morning to you.
Hi, Andy.
How the devil are you? Oh, you do know Andy?
I do, yeah.
Ah.
An old Dave, friend.
Calm down, Dave. Dave, get back. Dave, down. It's not good at his age to have rivals, you know.
Got back 500.
Where do we go with the strikers? I mean, I've said this, you know, we all know two would work better. And in the review, Kate, Brad actually put his team out and he actually had two up front, but actually it was only one up front because Kelechi was kind of, or Jamie Vardy, whoever the second striker was playing more behind the front striker. Can you see that happening? We need to do something because we're just not, you know, the strikers aren't on form at the moment, are they?
No, they're really not. And that's part of Enzo's dilemma, really, is that four strikers are all off form at the moment. So it's a real issue. There's not any of them that have sort of having a hot period at the moment. So I would love to see more of a two up top, particularly in the Millwall and Plymouth matches where we just needed goals. We've not scored in the last 180 minutes. So we need goals. And in the last 15, 20 minutes, just try and take it to them. But I think more importantly, I think Enzo's system can still work. And we spoke about this quite a bit after the Plymouth match. Like with a few friends were just saying that Enzo's system can work, but he needs to put it 20 yards further up the pitch when you've got a team that are quite dogged in defence. So it can still work, but you've got to sort of load the forward lineup. It doesn't necessarily mean strikers, but just load more attacking players into that front setup, which he's not been doing. And he has got that option on the bench. So that's what realistically I think could happen. I can't see him putting two up top. But I think realistically, he can look to push his system 20 yards further forward.
Dave, we have gone from the first half of the season, and I did mean to get this stat ready, but I went back to bed, so I didn't do it. We, in the first half of the season, pre-Christmas, we were almost scoring for fun, weren't we? I think we got a goal in almost every game. It's literally just dried up, but it's the same team.
Well, the forwards weren't scoring for fun, were they? It was Mavadidi. Well, I suppose he's their forwards, but Dewsbury Hall.
Well, they're classed as forwards.
I know they are.
Class them as forwards.
They were playing 4-3-3 then, in that idea, which we're clearly not. No, they've run out of ideas because we've been sorted. You know, it's not once you see us play a couple of times, you know how we play. So you pick your team and you play your game accordingly. And if you notice, I don't know if it was obvious that on the night, Kate, but to me, Plymouth just crunched in the midfield, a bit like Millwall did. Mavadidi hadn't got a clue, to be honest. He got the ball, did his usual, coming inside, nobody to go to because it was all, you know, there's so many people in there. And that's what happens now. We can't play through the middle like we used to on the floor and then just flick it off and do triangles because they're blocked out. We've got no other idea. We're slow. Did you notice Ipswich? I know they only drew, but they were pretty quick on everything they were doing. And you know, they should have won that game against Middlesbrough, was it? But they, you know, they were very unlucky. In fact, Leeds were the same, weren't they, the bits I saw? I mean, Leeds must have had loads of chances and didn't put them away. But they were a bit unlucky. We didn't look like we were going to score, and that's the difference. That's what worried me on Friday night when we were talking, that we didn't look like we were going to score. Well, apart from a couple of chances that probably should have put away, but I don't know. I don't agree with you so much on the striker problem, because I think Vardy's record is as good as anybody's in
As you mentioned that, Dave, to say that he is our number one striker and we are a team that is going for promotion and he is the highest ranked Leicester City scorer in the table, but he can only actually make it into, is that eighth position? I can't even read. It's that small. Yeah. You know, he's in eighth position. Now, you know, he has scored 14 goals. Somoza at Blackburn Rovers, who are fighting relegation, has scored 24. Armstrong at Southampton, who are only in the playoffs, has scored 20. Guy at Plymouth, okay. Morgan Whittaker, scored 19.
Yeah.
So Vardy's he's out of the four, he scored more goals, but I wouldn't say he's on blinding form.
But you look at their goal conversion rate, that's the point, and how many minutes per goal. Vardy's well ahead. I think there's only Whittaker at Plymouth that's actually pretty close to him. And I think it's something like, oh no, Sargent, is it Sargent at Norwich?
Norwich.
I think he scored a few goals. But they're both around the 35 to 40% conversion rate, which is probably pretty important. And they've played like, oh, I don't know, half the games that the other strikers have played. So, yeah, Smodics has scored 24, 25 goals, but his, you know, his minutes per goal are something like, I don't know, 3 hours or 2.5 hours.
But he's still scored more.
Well, yeah, but he's played more. That's my point. He's played a lot more games and he's had more hours, more minutes on the pitch. That's why the minutes per goal is important, because I think Armstrong has scored, what, 20-odd goals? But it's taken him 170 minutes a goal to do it, whereas Vardy's about 100. You know, well, so the argument's got to be, Vardy to play more games, would he score more goals?
He had, but four of those are penalties. So let's take from open play. Smodic is 24 from open play, Vardy's 10.
Okay.
I mean, Kate, is it a case of, in the first half of the season, we, you know, like I said on Friday, when Blackpool came up, they went to the top of the Premier League. They then got relegated. So is it a fact of, you know, nobody was used to us, but the second half, they went, whilst it's the same as we played them last time, we know how to handle this now.
There will be an element of that for sure, but like we've said before on this show, we were always going to have a blip. We've just had ours at the very end of the season. You know, no one really talks about Southampton in that we're unbeaten in 26 games. And save for the top three messing things up a bit, they're all but out of it. And that's also quite a fall off a cliff. Clubs and teams have blips, and we've just had ours at the crunch time of the season where there's no margin for error and there's no games to play that you could make it back over the next 10 because there's not 10 games left. So it was always going to happen, and it's happened now. And it's also happened at a time where there's added pressure because there is that minimal room for error, really.
Mm. I'm not saying Vardy, I mean, he scored more goals than our next two put together. And, you know, if you put, in fact, he scored the same goals as our other three strikers all added together. So, that's you know, worry, he's obviously, yeah, he's obviously the better of the three. But that said, you know, none of them are producing the goods that we need, are they, Dave?
Well, no. But then he's not played many games, really. I mean, he's not had many shots. I think I looked at it and he's probably had half the number of shots that the top three strikers in the league have had. Let me just make that a bit bigger. So Armstrong, Smodics and Whittaker. Yeah, I think Vardy's had less than half the shots they've had and probably less possession than any of them. We're not getting the ball to him, so why play him is the point. And, you know, that's right. So, okay, so we're not getting the ball to him. Why aren't we? Because the midfield now is so crowded, they can't play that through ball we used to play. So you need to play two strikers, one behind the other.
Three touches he had when he came on against Plymouth, Kate.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean,
I think it was something like
66 minutes. So he had 2/3 of the game and he made 3 touches.
A third of the game, you mean?
A third of the game, sorry.
It was the same against Millwall. I think Millwall, he got, I saw a stat somewhere at the time, he got to 63 minutes against Millwall and he'd had 6 touches.
Hmm.
We're just not getting the ball to him. The problem is, and I felt it was really prominent on Friday night, was that we have no problem beating that first line through Vestergaard and whoever starts the move at the back. Then it gets the likes of KDH and Winks that you want them to carry it through the second line and do some, and then you sort of into their box and can do some better penetrative work. But that second line, all the time, players kept stopping, wall up, and then would just pass backwards or sideways. There was like a real block going on where, whether it's confidence, whether it's just been so drilled into them to not lose possession, I don't know what it was. There was a through ball on from Mavididi at one point. He made a decent run into the centre part of the pitch, and KDH could have made the pass. It needed a one-touch pass, but he could have made it. And he just didn't. He stopped, panicked and then just passed it straight back to Vestergaard. We're not taking those kind of forward risks that you need to take to score a goal. Every goal is a risk. When you score a goal, there's always a risk you will lose possession. But you're not going to score if you don't take those sort of calculated risks. And I just didn't see that. And then your forwards don't get any ball time then. So that's the issue as well, that you're not having the confidence and the progression in your head to push forward and pass the ball through the second line. Well, you're not going to make any progress.
No. I mean, Dave, Kate's right, didn't she? We need to, if you want your strikers to score goals, you've got to get the balls to them.
You've got to shoot as well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I know this was contentious on Friday night, but, and like I say, I told you what my rating was for Daka, so I'm not saying, you know, he's my man of the match, but in 66 minutes, he had 24 touches. In 33 minutes, Vardy had 3. So you can kind of see why maybe Enzo's going with him, because maybe, you know, he's coming back for the ball more and what have you. And you've got to remember, he's 37, Vardy, now. He probably can't play as much as we'd like him to. He can't play, you know, 90 minutes Tuesday, Saturday. But strikers, if they're not scoring, it sticks out like a sore thumb. It's like if a goalkeeper's letting goals in, it sticks out like a sore thumb. We do have to somehow, as Kate said, get this. But we are playing too defensively, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so boringly negative. Because I think Kate got it there, that everyone's too scared to make a mistake. Mm. So, you know, you're not going to create anything like that. So you can't really, you know, we're almost reluctant to go too far forward. There were times on Friday when the wingers did get down the line, there's nobody in the box, or one striker or one player or whatever in the box. Everybody else was still, you know, back there worried about losing a goal.
Dave, you watched the game as I did on the telly, and I saw Mavididi get down the line. He'd got past the defender to the line. Now, surely as a winger, his first thought should be to get across into the box. All right, maybe nobody's there, but get it into the box. It might come off somebody and fall for a striker, but he didn't. He tried to get it on his right foot and cut back in and ended up losing the ball.
Yeah, because people know that's what he does.
Mm. But when I say, should he not, you know, and I see Fatawu do it as well, always coming inside. They're not getting the crosses in for the strikers, are they?
That's because you play a right footer on the left wing and a left footer on the right wing. Mm. It's inevitable, isn't it? I mean, that's the whole point of playing them there, so they cut inside. Mm. But how valuable is a player who can go around the outside and, you know, a bit like Guppy used to do. You know, take the ball around the outside, get a cross in, lay it back 6 yards out, bang.
Sorry, in my head, I am now singing that song. What was it? You know the one I mean, go around the outside.
Around the outside, yeah, I know.
Malcolm McLaren, double dutch.
We do that all the time here. As soon as I said it, I thought, oh, shit, what have I said now? Yeah. Everybody's going to be going around the outside.
You saw the smile come on my face, didn't you?
I thought that was wind. Sorry.
There, you know, you'd have heard that.
But we seem to have lost our faith. And that is disappointing, because the fans started off with brilliant again on Friday. I think, Kate, would you agree on that? I saw your comment about it getting very toxic, but that's what happens in away games, isn't it? The way we've been playing.
Yeah, it was another level for me on Friday, which is why I tweeted about it, because I felt some of the people around me were quite frankly disgusting.
Is it the young blokes?
No.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there have been youngsters. I mean, I tore a guy, I knew one in the queue for some crisps the other week because he was so rude. Yeah. And I just decided to pull a few strips off him. It was 50, 60-year-olds behind me week on Friday. And some of the comments, and I don't even know where to go with some of those comments. They were just disgusting. And at the end of the day, I get frustration, and I know we've covered this before about booing or whatever. I understand venting frustration, but this got personal, it got abusive. And at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. They don't go out there to be shit. They don't think, you know what, I can't be arsed today. Of course they don't. They're professional.
I do every weekday morning on the breakfast show. I think I'm going to
we
be
all
shit
want the today. Same thing.
I very rarely disappoint Kate.
But we all want the same thing. And I just think some of the comments that were made, that I think Dakar could hear, because they were shooting towards the second half and he wasn't 20 yards from us.
Hmm.
And I just think
pretty upset on the
it was a tough gig for that and I'm not, but at the same time, yeah, we were in full voice at the start of the match. And I think before they scored, the first 20 minutes, we looked really good.
Yeah.
We were doing some positive stuff. I thought Winks was pulling the strings nicely in the first 20 minutes. And then I have no quibble with conceding a goal. It happened. It's part of the game. It was flipping annoying on Friday night because, I could see what was going to happen. He was not tight enough. He was too casual and he wasn't tight enough. And you score a goal. The guy scored a goal. I don't think Woot, to be honest, gave the guy the respect he deserved. These are professional footballers in the same division for good reason. They're not going to be much in it. They're going to be marginal differences in talent and quality. But what I didn't like was then your backs are up against it because Plymouth did change their tactics a bit. But you've just got to keep playing that progressive football. We've got the ability to play quick one-touch stuff.
Join the watch along on the Friday within that first 20 minutes. And I actually said, what I can see happening is what Leicester always do. Don't score when we're on top and we'll get beaten, you know, on a breakaway. Yeah. And I think I said that at about 18 minutes.
Oh, so it's your fault. Okay,
It was my fault. It was my fault. But yeah, we don't seem to take advantage of that.
Because there was times when Plymouth still were going for it. They got possession and they lumped it up the pitch. And we quickly turned the ball over. And Plymouth are out of shape. The shape's gone. So bomb it on, counter-attack, one-touch stuff. We've got some really quick, pacey players. But we just seem to wait, let Plymouth get back in their shape, pass it to Vestergaard, pass it to Wick. That's the frustration that builds within the fan base then. Like, just counter-attack. The opportunity was there quite a few times to just counter-attack and we didn't.
Dave, do you remember the Great Escape year? And I know we've had whether it's yourself or Brad, possibly I've had this conversation with, but I can remember I had a season ticket then and I can remember watching Leicester and our strikers were scared to shoot. And the only guy that would come on and have a go was Kramaric. And he'd come on and he'd shoot from anywhere and it'd hit somebody's arse and just go wide or whatever. But everybody else got up to sort of the penalty box line and then passed it across. They didn't seem to want to shoot. And it's almost like we're suffering with the same disease now.
Yeah. I don't know, mate. I really don't. I can't understand it. You know, the only thing I can say is that it's pure panic. And Leeds have got it and Ipswich have got it.
Yeah, and nobody wants to get out, do they?
And Arsenal have got it. I mean, I've never seen anything at this time of season like that's happening now with the Premier League and the Championship.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Liverpool to lose at home, Arsenal to lose at home, Leicester lost away, Leeds lost at home. I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is.
Kate, do you know what day it is tomorrow?
The 16th of April.
Tuesday. Dave got it wrong this time. So do everybody check out my blog.
It's all about me, isn't it?
The BBC. The BBC bbc.co.uk/Leicester City. It's Tuesday Fan Voice, and I've written it this week. And my last two lines, and I shouldn't really say this because I didn't say anything before it goes out, but my last two lines were... if you're a neutral, this is a great season in the Championship. Unfortunately, I'm not a neutral. And that's the thing, isn't it, Dave? You don't support one of those three teams. You're loving it because, you know, it's going to go right down. Where if we'd have been carried on the way we were, it would have been particularly boring. And Mark Albrighton says Simon should get on. He can get across in the box. But, Dave, who's in the box to head it on? That's the point you made earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we could put as many crosses in there as we want, and there's nobody there. Unless you've got Iheanacho, and Vardy in there, or Cannon and Vardy. You've got to get people in the box. Because
people who can head it, basically, isn't it?
Well, yeah. but, you know...
But also, there's been quite a few opportunities where Winks has picked it up, or Ndidi has, although I wouldn't really be a fan of Ndidi shooting. KDH picked it up quite a few times. Mavadidi had clear sights of goal, and they just aren't taking the shot outside the area. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily going to go in, because you rarely score goals from outside the area on the regular. But just get it on target, hit it hard enough. The keeper has to parry it, and who knows where it ends up. It takes a deflection off a defender like the Leeds goal and it goes in the back of the net. We just don't do that enough either.
And, Kate, like you say, it's getting worrying that, you know, we're talking about Ndidi having shots and all the, you know, and a header, and he can't really head it either. Where are the strikers?
On the bench.
You know, this is the thing. But look,
well, it's really odd, isn't it? It's a system that doesn't use the strikers.
Yes, yeah. But look, I mean, Man City did it for a season and won the bloody league, didn't they? As of this weekend, as of Saturday when I did this, these are our goal scorers. Vardy, like we say, 14. And you can see the red ones there are the strikers. And Thomas Cannon, I feel so sorry for him. Because Dave, do you remember Brad's purple patch?
Yeah.
Yes. Where Dave had a wet patch. Brad had a purple patch. And he said, whenever we brought Dakar in before AFCON, he had a great little purple patch. He then went off to AFCON. And before that, sorry, Kells did, and then Vardy had earlier in the season. Then we brought Cannon in because that's all we had. And he had a purple patch. But they don't seem to, Dave, surely when somebody stops scoring, what do they say? That the sign of insanity is keep repeating the same thing, hoping that it's going to work next time?
Yeah, but if you don't give a player a chance, he won't score. It's my point with Vardy. Why bring him on with 10 minutes to go? What are you expecting?
Bring him on, change the system,
well,
suit him.
Yeah, play
a ball against Millwall, Dakar came on at 88 minutes to do two up top. What is the point in that?
Yeah, absolutely no point. Yeah. Absolutely none. I mean, I wouldn't even leave it till they scored, because if we haven't scored in the first, I think I said Friday before the game, we really need to score in the first 10, 15 minutes. We really do. Because then we'll be a bit calmer, we'll have settled down, and we'll go on from there. But we didn't, and that's the same thing happened. But instead of leaving it till they score, 60 minutes, was that Brendan time, wasn't it, 65 minutes? Let's do it early. I thought he might change it at half-time, because that first half was so bad from where I was watching it from. I'd have changed two or three players at half time. I wouldn't have left it till it was 65 minutes or anything, or, you know, just get them off and get somebody else.
There you go, Kate. I'm sure that was directed at you.
Mum and Dad will be listening and watching, Christopher.
Hello, Mitch and Mrs. Blakey. Yeah. I never said it. You said it, mate. But, Kate, Brad made this very... We did the review show, and if you haven't seen it, do go and check it out. It's under reviews, or it's under the pick. And Brad did, all the tactical review from the weekend, from the Friday night game. And he actually came up with a plan B that isn't a lot different to what we've got, but subtle changes that would accommodate a different style of play. Because all we're seeing is... Well, one striker's not scored, we'll put another striker on. But if you're keeping the same build-up, it's still not going to work, is it?
No, the like-for-like subs, surprisingly, just create the same issues, except this time they're not the starting 11. They're the second choices. I do think that Enzo is starting to struggle from analysis paralysis, where... You're thinking too much, you're trying to force it too much, you're playing it like a game of chess rather than a game of football. And sometimes you've just got to go hell for leather. And yeah, just like your pants are on fire, basically. Just play with some urgency. But for the duration, like try and phase it in and out. Sometimes you all need slower play, but sometimes I'd love to see us mix it up more and have some really intermittent fast play, which we just don't seem to do. But interestingly, I was speaking to a Leeds fan on Friday, and he was saying that their fan base, for exactly the same reasons, is starting to criticise Farker in terms of late subs, doing the same thing over and over again, slow build-up play, lacking of intensity. And, you know, we talk about Enzo being stubborn, but I think that's just because we're overly critical of our own manager. I think every manager is stubborn with their own philosophy. Genuinely, I do.
Well, in a way, that's what you want, isn't it? Remember, in The Great Escape, you couldn't find, you know, you couldn't work out who was going to be playing. If they scored two goals, they'd be dropped the week after.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's an element of that. I just feel like something's not quite ticking with the players at the minute. I don't question Enzo's system and the way it can work, because it's done us really, really well. It's just there's something going on with the execution at the moment, and that's where they're in the changing rooms for an hour after the match on Friday, and maybe that's where some home truths were said.
Oh, really? Ooh, didn't know that.
He didn't come out for his press conference for a good long time because they were in there for an hour with the door locked.
Oh, good.
But Kate,
which is what you want to hear.
It is. But Kate, two subs when you 1-0 down chasing promotion. You've got five on the bench.
And you've mentioned that there was tiredness.
I think Plymouth made five substitutions, didn't they?
Yeah. And even if we were cruising at 1-0 or 2-0 and you still wanted to push on for more, you just want fresh legs. It's a time of the season where we've got such an intense period after this little break we've got of 8 days. It's loads of cup five. Every single one's a cup final. So if you really believe that people are tired, then use those like for like subs to your benefit. But I don't believe that he genuinely thinks the team are tired. I think he just doesn't really know what else to say. And he's just trying to shut down the interview as soon as possible, because they must hate doing them. I would hate doing them as well. Yeah.
But Dave, you look at two substitutions. And I know he said earlier in the season, I'm not going to make substitutions just for the sake of making substitutions. But we're 1-0 down. We need to win. We're trying to get promotion. What the hell? Why have you only put two? We criticised, was it Brendan against Brentford that last season? Was it the first game, Brentford?
Yeah.
2-0 up. All the players were tired. We only made two fucking subs, mate.
And he said it was hot and it was like 23 degrees.
Yes. Yeah. So, Dave, I mean, are the fans right to be getting toxic to Brendan? To Brendan, by God.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, thank you. That was a Freudian slip. Bring him back. That's what I say. To Enzo.
I don't know about getting toxic. No, I don't agree with that. I think they're right to be angry and confused. I mean, we were on Friday, but we took it out on each other, not on the team, not on the manager.
I don't know. A couple of you were taking it out on poor Dakar.
No,
I guess, okay.
Yeah, I know you do, but you were wrong.
Hang on a second. This was Dave. This was Dave to me on Friday night. Let me just try and find it. Where are we? Here we go. This was Dave talking to me on Friday night.
Your opinion is wrong.
There we go. And he was probably quite right as well.
But I never boo at a game. Hmm. Never booed, as I've never left early. And I understand why you used to, Chris, because you had further to go than I did. I only had to get out to Surrey I'd normally stayed there. But it's a long journey back. And when it takes an hour to get out near the ground in the car, it's frustrating. But I never booed. I didn't applaud, but I didn't boo. And I think, as Kate's right, players don't do it on purpose.
No.
I would love to put those two away, but it's just not good enough to do it at the moment.
I understand booing. I have never actually booed, at a match, but I do understand it. What I don't like,
to the referee anyway.
Well, that's a different matter. That's allowed.
He's got a family as well.
Yeah. What I don't agree with is the toxicity towards a player while they are playing. I was at the Bournemouth away game for the FA Cup, and the Bournemouth fans were absolutely having a go at a Bournemouth striker. I can't remember who it was now. But he was obviously struggling with confidence, what have you. And he was not only being booed, but he was taking a lot of name calling and criticism whenever he missed or he got a ball and obviously ended up not scoring. Eunice in that game, like I say, he couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo that night. But what he did when he got the ball was he ran at the defence. And if, you know, they didn't. If he'd been able to work out where the goal was, we might have won more comfortably. But they daren't tackle him in case they brought him down. But not once did you hear the Leicester players, away fans, booing Eunice, which was why I'm surprised. Is it, do you think, because they're more hardcore when it's away fans, Kate?
Yeah, absolutely. It's much more hardcore. It's much more vocal, good and bad.
Thank you, mate. That was it, Billings, yeah.
On Friday, I felt that where the things that I heard, it was all about entitlement. It was very entitled that we should just be able to do it. It's as easy as that. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. We should just be able to do this. Plymouth are a League One team, somebody was saying behind me. No, they're not. They're as much of a League One team as we're apparently a Premier League team. We're in for a reason. And Plymouth, don't forget, dicked on Norwich 5-0 earlier in the year. They aren't a poor team. They're just in a poor form. And that's what you need to remember. And I say that to the players as well as the fans. Like, I don't think Woot respected that guy as much as he should have done. He should have absolutely just booted it out for a throw-in. Do you know what? Wes and Hoof are probably not as pacey or aware defenders as what Woot can be sometimes, but they'd have just cleared that out for throwing because they do the simple things right and the simple things first and foremost. And yeah, I just don't need to hear it. It was really counterproductive. And also from my point of view, we discussed this on Friday night as well, it's not Daka's fault he got picked.
Yeah.
Enzo, I felt, put him out like a lamb to the slaughter, particularly second half. I don't think he should have come out. And that's was verging on cruel for me.
I've said this, I think it was on the review. Sometimes you've got to look at players and you've got to think, for their own sake, they need to be dropped. You know, I think Pickford, although he was England's number one, whether it was last season or the season before, he was struggling and he was dropped for a few games just to get the crowd off his back and to give him some respite. And I think Daka needs that, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, especially because that last shot that went wide at the end just before he got subbed, that was right in front of us and he got some abuse and I knew he heard it. And what do you think? That's just so damaging to him. It's so damaging. He doesn't go out there to do that. If he could have buried it, he would have buried it. And also, like, a good point was that lovely finish he did in the first half that was offside, had that been onside, it might have opened the confidence gates up and he might have been able to finish a few of the others that he got. It's all about confidence and momentum. But for me, I don't think Enzo should have played him because he isn't the sort of character that can tolerate it. Vardy doesn't care if he gets stick off the home fans or stick off the away fans. He's so thick-skinned and he's almost his own worst critic, isn't he? He'll probably punch himself in the face if he missed some of those chances like we've seen him do before. But Daka's just, he was a lamb to the slaughter on Friday and I'm not really down with that.
No, I mean, Dave, just while you nipped off for a wee there, we were saying...
I'm coughing.
Hopefully that's not what you wee that you're drinking.
Clear, so I hope so.
We were just saying then, you made, I think you touched on this comment earlier, and I saw this as well, and I commented on it in the watch-along. Daka's face when he was subbed off, when he sat down, he covered his face with his shirt. And he's probably looked the most miserable I've seen him since he's been at this club. And we're saying sometimes players need to be dropped for their own sanity. And I think Enzo needs to, and we'll go through the individual figures in a minute, and it kind of backs up possibly why Enzo's picking him. But he needs to look at that and have a duty of care and go, he's not scoring, the player's getting him on his back. I still have faith in him, but he needs that break.
Well, he's not scored for a few games, has he now, either?
No.
And you go back to the minutes per goal and that sort of thing, and goal conversion and whatever else it is. That's got to be the telling factor.
But do you drop him, Dave, to give him that break? Or maybe even drop him to the, you know, the under-21s, whatever it is. I don't know what the next step down is. And play him as an overage in there and let him get his confidence back.
I don't wonder what Kells has done to upset the manager.
Well, Kells apparently, as far as I understand, what Enzo came out and said was that Cannon is one for the future. And I want players, obviously, that are committed. So I suppose Kells is out of contract. Not his fault that he can't sign with the way things are at the moment.
So but
do you think Dakar would benefit from some time with the under-21s just to get his confidence back, just to start banging some goals in?
No, I don't. I think he'd be better off on the bench or having a rest. I think on the bench, he's still in the first team squad.
He can still play on the bench, though, can't he?
Well, I don't think it would do him any favours. I think the problem now is that we're so late on in the season that he shouldn't have picked him, because you know he's been out of form for 7, 8, 9 games who have not scored a goal. And you don't pick him. You pick a player who wants it desperately. Cannon's that player. Vardy's that player. Yeah. You don't pick somebody who, I think, I mean, you kept going on Friday about he scored 4 in Russia. Well, to be honest, anybody could have. You know, it wasn't a difficult game, was it? These are difficult games against teams that are fighting like rubbish to get to stay up. You need to have some bottle to play in these sort of games. And Wout Faes and Daka and one or two others haven't got it. And that's the problem. I mean, why was... what's his face dropped? Callum Doyle. He was almost my man of the match against Millwall or somewhere. What was wrong with him? I mean, why? Not for pace.
No, we don't know. Kate, your thoughts on dropping him down to give him some game time with the under-21s?
He definitely needs to be dropped. Yeah, I mean, if you can still keep him scoring with the under-21s or can retain his match fitness, I don't know. I really don't know what the answer is with him. I don't think he's got the ability that we all want him to have. He's not got the potency about him either. He's not got that that venom that we like to see in a striker. I think Kell's got it for sure, and I think Cannon's got it, but Daka just almost seems a bit too polite. But now we've got the problem is that you've doubled down on that in terms of his confidence is completely gone as well now, which is an issue. So sometime out of the first team for sure. I don't know what being in the under-21s would necessarily do for him. If he
just rediscovers where the net is and starts. I know it's late in the season, so it probably is too late.
Well, hopefully four games to go. Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you know. Exactly. So
I don't mind him coming on in the last 10 minutes like he did before, because he's so fast. And, you know, in that when we tried the 2 up top formation last week, it kind of worked. Like him and Nacho created a lot in those 7 or 8 minutes that they were both on the pitch together.
It's a confidence thing. And I just think if you stick it, it doesn't matter if you're scoring against Granny's 11. You know, if you play a game and you score 2 or 3 in that game, you suddenly get that confidence back again. It just gives you that extra spring. That's all my thoughts were. Yeah.
That's what training's about, though. That's what you do, go out and do your training and play your proper
football. Is it? Is he training the same as playing a competitive match? I mean, you know, the defenders may not go in on a tackle because they don't want to injure their own player, or...
No. It's not the same, but it's as close as you can get. It's probably more beneficial playing against our defenders than it is playing against kids, which is what he'd be doing. You know, he needs to...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Harden up a little bit. I mean, I've noticed little things. I've noticed Vardy will chase the goalkeeper down, and he'll run out like a headless chicken around the pitch for the ball. Daka strolls up. You know, I noticed that a lot on Friday. He won't close the guy down. He's kind of thinking about it, but he gives the goalkeeper enough time to do something with it. He should be right on him.
Yeah. He's got to do what he can do. He doesn't do what he can do. Like, there's only so much you can affect from that side of the pitch. And if he can just – he's not going to block the keeper's kick. You're not going to get that point. But like you say, giving the keeper more time gives the keeper the option of where he wants to play it, short, long, indifferent, whatever it is. But if you just press him, he has to kick it long. He's not going to pick out a pass if he's under pressure, because he can't, unless it's really close. But that he just needs to do and control what he can do a bit better.
Yeah. Didn't he block one once early on in the game? Didn't he actually close him down and block it for a goal kick?
I don't know.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. But it doesn't matter whether he blocks it. Like you say, he's just got to make the effort look interesting.
Yeah. We're going to move on now with some facts and figures. Last question here, Kate, before we do move on. I remember having conversations like this about Yannick Vestergaard, and suddenly, wow, he's turned different style of play, and suddenly he's probably, you know, you could even argue player of the season. He'd certainly be, I think, in the running. Whether he'd win it or not is another matter.
Could that the irony Daka? That you said in the running and the guy can't run.
Well, that's a good point. But
yeah.
Do you think that Daka, you know, if, and I'm not saying that Enzo's going, and I don't think he should go, that if the system was changed, it would suit Daka more than the system that we're playing in now? Or do you think we've just got to say, look, we bought a bad one.
Yeah, I think it's one of the ones that we bought a bad one, because I think any new manager coming in isn't going to do two up top, because no one seems to do it anymore. And I think that's where Daka's probably most effective, where he's not the main lone striker. I just don't think he's quite ruthless and cutthroat enough for what a top level striker needs to be. That's my interpretation. I'm always left wanting a bit with him. Like when Cannon comes on the pitch, and Cannon's figures, you know, he's not scored loads. I know he's not had much opportunity, but he hasn't scored loads. But when Cannon comes on the pitch, I just feel like there's so much more direction with him and intent than I get with Daka. Daka covers some yards, and I think some fans will see it as he's hold up games fairly good, or his pressing games all right. I feel like he just chases his shadows myself. He never really gets within a couple of yards. And I don't think I've ever seen him make a tackle, because he doesn't get close enough to do it. The ball's gone.
I think with Cannon, it's a case of you're releasing somebody, you know, who wants to go. You know, he's not played, so when he does get the chance, he wants to make an impression. But we're going to look at facts and figures straight after this. Now, courtesy of our friends at whoscored.com, they have, well, I have got the following information on our four main strikers, just to compare. So we're going to start with Tom Cannon. So far this season, he's played 21 times. Sorry, he's aged 21. Sorry, I should say. He's aged 21, so he's the youngest of the four. He's played 409 minutes, only got three goals and one assist. Shots. Now, this isn't goals. This is shots per game, 1.2. His pass success rate is 68.5%. And his rating, because obviously they rate all the players after every game, average rating is 6.34. He doesn't come out top on any of those. And it's probably not surprising because the poor guy's hardly played. But Dave, I actually picked Cannon to be starting on Friday night in my before the team was announced, when I did a preview with Luke. I said I wanted Cannon up front. I still do now against West Bromwich Albion. He did it for Preston last season, game in, game out for them this last season. Why isn't he? What, you know, surely we've got to give him a chance now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I've been thinking that for weeks. I don't know why. Three goals, 409 minutes. I know it's only three goals, it's only 400 minutes, but it's still a better minutes per goal than most of the top scorers.
In fairness, none of them are brilliant. Again, but that's down to the style that we play.
No, you know, that's not bad. That's not bad minutes per goal.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the others in the league, in the championship, shots per game's not great, but you know, that's the way we play. You're right.
Yeah.
But the fact is that he won't play him. He doesn't play Kelechi. I don't get it. He won't play two up front. He won't do anything that we think he should do. But then,
well, he's the manager, I guess, he gets sacked if it goes wrong.
I agree with you on the stubbornness, because I managed to side once and I thought I was right. So,
I don't agree with you. Don't like what I'm doing, I'll go. Well, I'm sorry, mate. Maybe that's what you heard on Friday night. Your view of that, Kate, of those stats, he's got to be given more of a chance now, hasn't he?
Yeah, I don't really understand the point of buying him if we're not going to use him when the others aren't doing so well. I mean, you accept that when you're young in this game and you're trying to break through into the first team, that you have to wait for your either dead man shoes or injuries or whatever it is to get your chance, or people being off form. And none of the other three strikers are on form, and yet Cannon's been given the least amount of minutes. The only thing I can think of, the reason behind that is, for whatever reason, this injury and this stress fracture in his back that he had over the summer needs long.
He was on the front bench, though, wasn't he, at Plymouth?
Yeah, but I mean, he can't play 90.
No, but then none of the strikers are very, very rare. Vardy's played 90 a couple of times.
That's very true.
Very rare that any of the strikers play 90.
Something underlying like that.
And is he young? Is 21 young these days?
Yeah.
It seems to be waiting to break into the first team as a regular. There's not many 21-year-old regulars, I would think, when we've got the choice we have of strikers.
If we're saving him, and we've got him on a long contract, so if we're saving him for next season, that's the Premier League. Surely this is where he, like I say, played well last season for... Dave's scrolling through his porn files here.
No, I'm going to have to come on the mobile, because even despite the fact I've got it plugged in, my battery's down to 10% on this poxy iPad.
Poxy
iPad. So I'm going to.
Is that a new make? I know. Apple do them, and but I didn't know Poxy did them.
Yeah.
But yeah, to me, I just don't understand this. And look, Brendan Rodgers hung himself on his stubbornness. I'm just worried that Enzo might as well. But Dave, I'll come back to you. I'll let you do. Do you want to do that first?
No, I've got 10%.
Well, you know, Kate's happy with 10%, I'm sure.
Good enough for me.
Yeah.
That says it all. Kelechi Iheanacho here.
I'm good with assists. I'm good at assists. Yeah. So.
1,074 minutes played, 6 goals, 2 assists, 1.4 shots a game. All the shots per game are disgusting for our strikers, yeah. But I go back to the fact that it's the system. The pass rate, he's best on his pass rate, 85.2% pass rate. So he's best on that. And his average score was 6.49. He's leaving. We don't know if he's leaving. He's not going to be a sellable asset if he does go. But, you know, he's another one we've let run down. And all this sort of, well, because it's the EFL and all this, it's bollocks. We've had plenty of time to try and tie him down to a new contract. Enzo earlier in the season said, oh, it's too early to be talking about that, straight as soon as he'd just done it with Hamza. I'd have liked to have kept him, to be honest with you.
If you're not going to play, what's the point?
Oh, no, I agree on that. But no, to me, he would be being played, you know.
Well, he should be, but the way the manager wants to play doesn't allow 2 strikers. So no matter what we do, it's going to be a one-off, one-on. And that's the whole problem. And I don't know what it is with managers now. They just want to play one up front. Whether they expect midfielders to actually turn into strikers, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Kate, your thoughts on Kells? Could he play that role that Brad said, just behind the front striker?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I quite like him in that position as well. He likes to come deep, really, which is good for Nacho. But again, the shots per game, I think Andy's just said down below as well, like the shots per game is absolutely horrendous. Considering how many goals we've scored, we've scored the most in the division, haven't we? And it's absolutely unbelievable. 1.4 shots per game. And that's not even whether it's on target or not. But
Andy has scored more goals than us. Southampton have scored more goals than us.
We haven't scored many for a while, have we?
It's just disappointing. I think it's the problem with the club at the minute, where we're not getting rid of Deadwood. If you're not going to play Kelechi, then sell him. Get something for him rather than just pay his wages and then lose him on a free. It's absolute business. It's the business nightmare situation that we've created for so many players that are being paid that we don't use. It's nothing to do with injury.
Did this sound familiar, Kate? Didn't want this this time last year?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just don't understand it. I would much rather Nacho than Daka.
His pass rate, he's the only one of the 4 strikers that's got a pass rate in the 80s.
Yeah, well, he ain't passing for the goal, is he?
No, 85.2. So what I'm saying is, agreeing with Brad, don't tell him I said that, but agreeing with Brad to play him off that front strike. Well, look, who can remember when Rodgers had an epiphany and didn't have anybody free? Vardy was injured, So he played Kells up front. Then when Vardy came back for the end of the season, he actually played the 2 of them together. And they were like, for that period, they were the most lethal strike force in the Premier League almost. He can play that role. He likes to come deep. And Kate, for a big man, he has got a nice touch.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. I'd love to see it more. I just don't think it's going to happen, which is the manager's prerogative, but I just still don't think he's playing his best striker at all. I understand that Vardy can't play 90 minutes, and he doesn't look like he likes any strikers to play for 90 minutes. 60 or 70 is what he needs from them. And Kelechi, with bells on, is better than Daka, what we need. I just don't understand why he's siding with Daka so much. Like, I get that he might follow instructions and come deeper to get the ball. We'll see what his stats are in a minute, I guess, with pass completion. I can't get my head around it. And if he starts him on Saturday, he's got a real uphill battle with the fans at home. Like,
yeah, it won't.
Okay, I'm going to just have to say this to you. Let it go, let it go. So, right, I'm almost scared to do this. Hang on. I'm going to do this next one from under
can
the table.
Can I just, before you do that, while you're down there, Daka played with Iheanacho at Brighton, and we scored within 10 seconds. Now, what followed wasn't very good, but you know, the fact was, yeah, he played two up front, and it worked. We looked really dangerous for probably 15, 20 minutes of the game there, and then they scored. I mean, Brighton, to be fair, were blooming good that day as well. They should have had five or six, I think. But it did. It can work, and we know it, and we've done it. So why won't it work now against lesser players?
That's what I said, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, it did work that time for Rodgers, but then the next season he went back to one up front. Look, I'm gonna risk it for a biscuit. Guys, if you don't see me in 2 minutes, you know I am hiding. We're gonna look at Patson Daka. Right, here we go, guys. So Patson Daka. 25 years old. He's played 1,378 minutes, the second most of any of the four strikers. He scored 7. He's got 6 assists. Shots per game, 1.9, nearly 2. His pass rate is 76.6. And his rating, average rating per game, is 6.75. Now, Dave, and I'm playing, please accept I'm playing devil's advocate here. He's got 6 assists, which is more than the other 3 put together. 1.9, which is the most shots per game of any of the 4 strikers. He's got the second highest pass success. And his rating, 6.75, is the highest of any of the 4 strikers as well. What's he doing wrong? Apart from, obviously, not knowing what the ball has to go in between those white bits of wood.
Well, his goal conversion's not great, is it?
No.
So that's probably what he's doing wrong. I think he panics when he's in front of goal. He could have had a lot more goals than that. He could have had about 15 goals, which would have then you'd have said, yeah, brilliant. But he hasn't.
Is it this confidence thing, do you think, Dave?
Oh, always. Striking is a confidence thing, yeah. No doubt about it. But, you know, as Kate said, Vardy just gets over it, smacks his head on the post and tries again. So, you know,
do you remember Dolly the Sheep?
How could I forget Dolly the Sheep?
What you did that night.
We had a wonderful weekend away together.
Yeah. You were in Wales at the time, so we're all is forgiven. Dolly. But we need to be able to clone Vardy. That's the point I was going to. We need to be able to clone Vardy, don't we? But Kate, your thoughts on those figures there for Patson? Like I say, number one in assists, number one in shots for goal, number one in the rating.
All that matters with a striker is goals. I couldn't care whether his pass success was 5%. I really couldn't care less. What matters is his goal conversion rate and his XG versus his actual G. And I think that Daka's XG must be up there with the highest of the 4 strikers. The big chances he has missed, and I'll say this about Vardy as well, Vardy missed some pretty unacceptable shots on goal against Bristol. And those chances, the Leeds one for Daka, I know he also got one ruled offside that game, but they're the things that are coming back to bite us, because had we crystallised those golden opportunities, this blip really wouldn't have mattered. No. We can lose at Plymouth. We lost. It's okay. Because we'd have won against Leeds. We'd have won against Bristol. That's 6 points right there. We're home and dry.
Ipswich twice.
Mind you, Ipswich was a crappy referee and KDH should have been given a penalty. Yeah. So there's a mixed bag of decisions there. But yeah. I can really think of in the past couple of months, Daka and Vardy have missed some absolutely golden opportunities and it's just not acceptable.
No. Can I just Daka make the...
Do you think Daka could play that role that we were just talking about for Kelechi behind Vardy or Cannon?
No, he's not industrial enough.
No,
you agree with that, Dave, by the look of
it. Yeah, totally. The only point I was going to make is if I can still do maths, I'm not sure. That's 197 minutes per goal, roughly. And that puts him alongside Whittaker. I think he was getting on for 200 minutes a goal. Vardy's like 104 minutes a goal. That's on the pitch. So that to me says everything. It's not how many shots or, well, it is actually, because the more shots you have, the more chance you got scoring.
Exactly.
But the fact is, if you don't play, you don't score. You know, if you don't play, you
shots
can't score.
Worrying. You're not getting off two shots a game.
Well, that is
unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm shocked, to be honest. I thought it would be at least three or four.
These on target or just shots generally?
No, these are just shots. These are just shots. I didn't want to fill it up with too much.
I don't think he's got any on target apart from the $7.
and I didn't put XG up because I've got to be honest with you, even after all this time, I do not understand XG. What the fuck is it?
No, I don't understand what that is either. I thought that's some sort
look
of...
at, I don't know how to calculate it.
I thought it was like a kiss grope or something like that, is it? Or like
Here we go. Jamie Vardy. Played more minutes. Well, he's 37, and we've got to accept life after Jamie Vardy, and that's the worrying thing. At 37, we're still, I mean, no disrespect to him, but it's wrong that we are still relying on a 37-year-old to get the goals for us. But look, he is doing 1,540 minutes played, more minutes than the others, and more than Kells and Tom put together. 16 goals, which, as I say, the others only managed 16 between the three of them. He's got 16 on his own, but he's only got one assist. Now, that really did surprise me. I have to be honest with you. I thought it'd be higher than that. 1.4 shots per game, which is the same as Kells, but less than Patson. Pass success of 75.5. And the thing with the pass success is that every time I look, I seem to be watching these games, Vardy's getting the ball in the corner when he should be in the box receiving the ball. Why the hell is he not in the box receiving the ball? He's gone out because no other bugger's up there with him. And that's not a criticism of him, because, again, he's doing what he's got to do.
I'll just finish, Kate.
Overall rating, 6.67. Less than Dakar, but more than Kells. Sorry, Kate, you were going to say.
I was just saying, he's having to run to the byline or the touchline to get the ball because the pass has probably gone wayward because we don't pass it into the box. So he has to go and fetch it from elsewhere.
Yeah.
We don't make passes into the box. If Enzo just looked at the stats of these four people, which I'm sure he's got stats coming out of his ear rolls, he seems like a data kind of person. You've got 1.4 shots per game of your striker who scored 16 goals. That tells you there's just not enough action going on in the striker end of the pitch. There's not enough touches.
You want a bit more action, do you, Kay?
Always want a bit more action there. Always. Bit more touches. More than 1.4 per game. That's certainly true.
Really, I'm one of them guys behind you, Kate. Sorted you out. Sorry, Dave.
And he's touching it once. I'm sorry. That's absolutely ridiculous. That's the odds are stacked against him to score, not stacked for him. Enzo's always talking about with KDH, isn't he? One of the things he picked up on when he took over Leicester was KDH didn't get himself in the box enough, and he needs to be getting more goals given the position he holds. He needs to apply that to his strikers.
Dave, I forgot what I was going to ask you now. Oh, yeah. I mean, against West Brom, their number one striker, their top scorer, is out. He's banned. He was sent off in the last game. Yes. Whoop.
That was my red card, by the way.
Oh, was it? Oh, I thought that was like a mini sort of whoop. That was what you were managing. Are you going to sing?
Soon.
Dave, looking at that, if I don't see against West Bromwich Albion, because it's been like 8 days, hasn't it, since we'll have played last time, I don't see Vardy or Cannon starting and the other one coming on, so a combination of those two, I'm just going to wonder what the hell we're doing.
Yeah.
It has. Yeah, surely it's got to be them two, hasn't it?
There'll be no excuse if he doesn't pick one or the other. I don't know. I think the fact he's still going with the wingers bothers me a little bit as well, because Mavadidi's run out of ideas now, and his head, I don't know if it's obvious there, but his head looked like it's dropped. You know, there's no real... He never shows passion anyway, unless he scores, does he? But
do you think, because I noticed with Mavadidi a lot, there's two players, more so than with Fatou, there's always like two players on. We don't have the defenders because we have such a high line where the opposition have a lot of players back. Okay, you could say parking the ball. But they always seem to be having two on Mavadidi because they've worked out he's one of our main threats. Put two players on him, and anybody's going to struggle against two players, aren't they?
Well, if he's going the same way, yeah. And that's what he's doing. He cuts inside, so there's people on his inside. They know that. And then they block out this middle bit, which is where else we normally go through. So we can't go through that anymore. So where do we go? Well, which home game was it? Was it Norwich? We were crying out to get the ball to the right wing, and eventually we did, and it looked a little bit dangerous. But, you know, you can't just play the same way all the time, because that's what coaches are for. They look and study every bit of footage till it gets boring. But that's what they do. You know, you have to come up with something different, especially at this time of the season, because it's not working, and it's not worked for 6, 7, 8 games. Brad's statistic on Friday was scary, how many nils we've had in away games over the last month or two or more. We haven't scored a goal. And what you have to ask yourself, why? Well, because we're not creating anything. Yeah, big deal. But then we're not looking to create anything, because we get defenders who just stroke the ball across as if it's so casual. It's a training game or just a warm-up. And that's what annoys me more than anything. And that was why we lost the goal.
Kate, you're two for West Brom? Because we know he's not going to play two up front. We can sit here and we can say, all three of us want two strikers on. None of us are going to get it. Nobody in the chat, everybody knows they're crying out for two strikers. It isn't going to happen. We're going to have one on and then one coming on late on. Is it Vardy and Cannon for you, or is it another combination?
It would be Vardy and Cannon for me. And I think I'd have Nacho on the bench as well. I just don't think Daka needs to be included this time round at all. I think Daka needs to be one that's sat out. Enzo always does say that there's four strikers. Unfortunately, one has to be sat out. So it's Vardy and Nacho for me. And we'll see what happens.
But he actually wants to be signed by somebody at the end of it. If he doesn't stay with us, he wants somebody to sign him. He ain't playing. Nobody's going to be coming in. If you can get on the pitch and, you know, create a few or score a few, that's going to help him. We're going to have a look now at the run-in, and we're also going to be looking back at Kate's predictions, because Kate once said to me when we did the review show of the Championship, she said to me, "You're really not very good at this prediction game, are you, Chris?" We'll have a look, Kate. We'll have a look.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey, guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi, everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes.
Indeed. So, Dave's getting his porn up again. I've got to say, I don't know if it's just me, but when I have you on small screen, Kate, that top, it is definitely flesh-coloured. It looks like you're naked.
You make me feel naked.
No wonder Dave's like this. What a porn.
we're secretly messaging.
It's pink to make the boys wink.
Have a word, Mr. and Mrs. Blakey. Come on, sort her out. You know, get her to put some clothes on. But no, not. Yeah, do you remember saying that, Kate? You know, that's that Monday night, that was very hurtful. You
said, I said it tongue in cheek, being a bit cheeky.
No, I don't think you did.
Even bring into this bullying business, because I know you're going to bully me back now.
You might as well have just booed me. But I mean,
I'm not a booer, Chris. We've discussed this. I'm not a booer. I don't think it results and proves anything.
You're not wrong, she said, Chris. You're not very good at this, are you? Well, this is what Kate has predicted. This is what Kate has predicted. No. I'll mute you in a minute. This is what Kate has predicted. We got them to do, I think it was like the last 11 games after the international break. She predicted we would beat Bristol City. Whoops. She predicted that we would beat Norwich. Well, we did, but she only went 1-0, so she got that right. Birmingham, yes. She predicted 2-1. We won 2-1. Millwall, she predicted we'd win. Oops. Plymouth, she predicted we'd win. Oops. Kate, you're not wrong. You're not very good at this, are you? But can I just say that since we did that, which was the 29th of April, was the first game that was included, and Kate did it for Leicester, Carl did it for Leeds, we had an Ipswich Town fan and the Southampton fan all did their own results. Since then, so in the last 5 games, Leicester have got 6 points. Ipswich have got 8 points. Leeds have got 5 points. Southampton have got 11. Now, I haven't put them up on there, and I wish I had done now, but they've got too many games because they've got an extra game in hand as well, so underfitted on. But we're wrong to really write off Southampton, aren't we, Kate?
Yeah, we are, but I genuinely can't cope with the team in the mix. Oh, it makes me feel sick. But yeah, they're not out of it at all. Especially, it really annoyed me on Saturday that 7 minutes of injury time and they scored in 99 minutes. I'm not sure what that was about. But yeah, they're certainly in the mix. I mean, fair play to them. We know they're capable of putting a run together because of what happened at the first part of the season. And it's going to be, I'm glad we're not playing them on the last game of the season. Leeds must be absolutely bricking it.
To be honest with you, let's be honest. They can make our game 189 minutes. We still wouldn't bloody score, would we? Looking at that, Dave, so the green games are the home games. The red ones are away, just so you know what the colour coding means. The gold one is just the index at the top. We've got 3 of our 4 games at home. Is that an advantage? I mean, earlier in the season it probably wasn't, but it probably is now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it should be. It should be.
I mean, we're pretty hit away at the moment, aren't we?
Well, I think the only people that should be worried are Leeds, because Southampton have got, like, 2 games in hand on them. If they win them, are they 1 point behind Leeds now?
I think if they win it...
If they win it, they
win those 2 games. Remember, one of those is against us, so let's not pass. They would be on 87, the same as Leeds, but their goal difference is 27, Leeds is 42. So
it's tight enough for them to worry about it. We've just got to win our home games.
Simple. Yes. Although, having said that, probably the away game is probably one of the easier ones.
Well, who knows? Depends what team turns up.
As Brian Clough said, you know, we had a good team on paper, and fortunately we played on grass.
I mean, Preston can either beat everybody or lose to everybody, which is the whole problem with this damn guessing game about who's going to score what, when and how. Yes. I've never known anything like it. Teams beating teams that shouldn't.
It's a funny old league, isn't it? It's a
funny old game, Saint. Really is.
Kate, who do you think's got the hardest and easiest run-ins there?
I think Leeds have got the hardest run-in.
I mean, they've got Middlesbrough.
Who's Leeds' first game, Who's that first game at
Middlesbrough.
I feel like Leeds have got the toughest running because QPR are fighting for their lives still.
QPR, you don't know which QPR is going to turn up.
It's the same with every team, isn't it? Every team's the same. Borough, Middlesbrough could score, you know, do a cracker, or they could be useless. You know, you just don't know.
And the same with Kov. Like, God knows what Kov's going to turn up.
Yeah.
They beat...
Same with Blackburn. I mean, they put five past somebody, then they conceded five.
Yeah. City got five against them, didn't they? Something like that. Yeah, it was.
I don't know who it was.
Weirdly, the teams that we've got left to play are better footballing sides. And I think we play better against those kind of teams. They're not part of the buses. Blackburn may well be, depending on how. I don't think they qualify for.
No.
No, they're just in the middle, are they?
I mean, West Brom.
They are still in a relegation battle, to be honest with you.
Oh, relegation, yeah. Relegation battle. So,
yeah, Blackburn. The last game they, I say they're 17th, 49 points, but Huddersfield in the 22nd on 44. So they're not out of it, really.
No, but
yeah, I mean, say if we let that Blackburn game go, because we can still lose one game out of those four, and it's completely in our hands still. So I would still back us to get do better against the better footballing team. So yeah, I think Leeds have got the toughest run in, and I would argue that. You could say Ipswich isn't. Ipswich are one of the easier ones, I would think.
Mm. You'd think, well, yeah. I mean, they've got Cobb, like you say. Their mind. Well, will their mind? I mean, they've got Man United in the semi-final of the FA Cup. Again, you've no idea what Man United's going to turn up. So it could be the awful Man United, and we're seeing Coventry in a cup final, or it could be. So they maybe got bigger fish to fry. Hull's going to be difficult for them. Huddersfield are right down there. Like I've just said, they're fighting for the survival. So that might not be easy for Ipswich if Huddersfield are literally still...
Ipswich have got the mind game problem, though, because they don't play for 2 weeks now. And when they do play, it's late on. Yeah. When they actually come round to play again, Leeds, and I think, I'm not sure about us, but Leeds definitely only have one game left next time Ipswich play. So that could really act in their favour or act against them, depending how many points Leeds pick up.
Yeah, I'm just looking, Blackburn here, they beat Sunderland 5-1 and they lost to Bristol City 5-1. I mean, who? No wonder their predictions are all over the bloody place.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just the league.
We're the same, Kate. We'll only have one game left as well. By time.
Okay, yeah, so that's massive for Ipswich. That is such a mind-bender, that is, for Ipswich.
Would you swap, Dave, our run-in, and then I'll ask exactly the same question to you, Kate. Would you swap our run-in for either Ipswich or Leeds?
Normally, no.
Oh, but on looking at that run-in there, would
no.
you?
No, I wouldn't. But
would you,
but
then... Kate?
No, three home games out of four, and we can lose one. That's the best you're going to get.
When we played Plymouth, Dave, and we were saying about away form, based on our last five games, Leicester City are 21st in the form table for away games.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that make you think you should change something?
Well, yes, but also,
it's
good that we've only got the one game away. I mean, let's just have a look at this. West Bromwich Albion are in the form table. This is just based on the last five. They're eight. Southampton are fourth. Preston are further down. I can't find them. I'll find them in a second. Do bear with me, callers. Your call is... Preston are fifth. Preston are fifth in the league, in the form table. And Blackburn Rovers are 13th. Coventry are ninth. Hull have dropped down recently. They're 12th. Huddersfield are way, way down in 21st. Middlesbrough, 6th. QPR, they're actually 14th. And again, they've got Southampton, which we know they are in 4th. I mean, it could just go anyway. The interesting thing is here, and as a channel, we do not promote betting at all. But if you do have a bet, and I do have to say this legally, if you do have a bet, please, when the fun stops, please do stop.
It's not just betting.
It isn't an answer for anything. But just looking at Sky Bet, Although I am betting on you two getting together. latest of the
day. She needs a babysitter.
I am going to contact Sky and see what the odds are. Okay, the latest betting for promotion as of today, as of 7 o'clock when we started the show. Now, I don't understand betting, I've got to be honest with you, but looking at this, Leicester are still favourites to get promoted at 1-10. Ipswich second at 2-5.
Blimey.
Leeds third at 1-2. Southampton fourth at 5-4. Which, if they kick off at 5-4, would do us a favour because we could have got a couple of goals in before then.
That's pretty strong.
Can I just say that was one a hell of a long build up to a joke?
Oh God, I don't like those odds for us at all.
No.
Sorry, I'm still laughing at my own joke. Nobody else is.
No, you carry on laughing, Chris.
I will. This is what the crowd want.
We've got 4% battery left. Can we get on with that? As well, the bishop said to the barmaid.
Yes. get some Duracell in your little machine, mate. That'll help you. So we're still favourites to go up.
Yeah, you don't believe anything like that. I mean,
those odds were made by people that don't live and breathe Leicester every week.
Yeah,
I just thought that as well, Andrew. Like, how can you have three teams that are odds on for promotion?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's just they don't want to pay out on any of them. That's the point. That's why the odds are so
Who can forget the 5,000 to 1 days? Going to end on this comment. It's simple for us. Win our home games and we are up. That's all we can focus on. Very, very true, Andrew.
It's all about us.
Very true. It is all about us. It is indeed. Right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate your support and your help. And the Viagra's that's kicked scary. In, Dave. Okay. Oh, my God. You know, why do you do this? You know what I'm going to do with it. But look, Dave, tell everybody what you're up to this week and where they can find you.
Well, nothing tomorrow. Well, I am, but I'm doing the breakfast show this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on surreyhillsradio.co.uk. But I also know my tweeting number, and I should be doing a lot more twittering as life goes on. So it's thank you very much. It's at Dave Smith 3177 1465. Thank you. Welcome your comments and abuse.
Is that new? Because that's not the one I've got.
Oh, is it not? Oh, balls.
Well, it's not the one that Kate sent me anyway.
Actually, I might have a few.
Oh, you God. Have.
Kate, I can't find. I can never find it. Have you got his tweet? Right, this I've got that, pen and paper, Dave. Pen and paper.
This is the one that popped up earlier when I was looking on the radio Twitter, whatever. No.
Let me just find you. I just finished when you were like my tweeting numbers.
I know, bless him.
It's all a mystery.
Your whole life's a bloody mystery, according to Kate.
I know.
Right, followers, Dave.
Ooh, I'm a follower.
You are. Well, we know that. You parked outside our house every night, mate.
No.
Cost me a fortune in petrol.
I can't bloody find it. Didn't you tweet me and tag me in something earlier?
Yeah.
That's all the girls say. Oh, hello.
31771. That's the one you've just said.
Yeah, 31771465.
Yeah, that's the one that Chris tagged you in on.
There you go. You see, I do know it.
What he said was why I thought it was different because it's
you said Dave Smith.
SM.
It's Dave SM.
Yeah, Dave SM 31771465. Now that's his age. I accept that.
And I accept that he likes S&M.
Yes, well.
Yes.
I'm very proud of that address.
You beat me to that, Kate. Damn you.
Dave's still figuring out his Twitter number. He's the only person in the world that offers a girl his Twitter number.
Come and sit on my perch.
Hey, we need to hurry because Dave's probably on 2% by now.
I am on 2% by there.
As long as he's got 2%, Kate, you'll be all right. Kate, where can people find you? Do you know your Twitter?
My Twitter number is at KateBlakey40. So come and find me on Twitter. Give me a dial.
Give her a ring on, yes. Put your finger in and do that. With
call me. Call me.
Hang on. Is Dave doing a babe station there? Not that I know, but somebody told me. Dave and Kate, as always, I thought we'd got through a whole show without any clips, but we haven't.
You've only mentioned that once as well.
I have. But that's, I'm being good. Check it out tomorrow, Dave, as Dave has just mentioned it.
I'd love
BBC,
to.
bbc.co.uk/Leicester City fans voice. Forward slash. Don't forget the forward slash. Exactly. Dave slashes both. Both ways, but it is his age.
That's why he's always on 2%.
Yeah. That's why Kath is always cleaning the bathroom.
I'm going to be perking up to about 100% next week, I tell you. I'll be back.
Dave's off to have a Kate sandwich. Thank you all very much. I will speak to you. Are you going at the weekend, Kate?
I am, yeah.
Silly we'll question. See you then.
They sold out the last game, haven't they?
They have.
I think they have, yeah.
Yes.
I've just bought a Preston ticket as well. I don't know why I'm doing it to myself. It's a long old drive on a Monday night, but
so proud of you. Well done.
We are. We're behind you, Kate. You're flying the flag.
Yeah. Somebody's got to go to games. Yeah.
Hey, we need a song quickly, Kate, before we go.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. What can I sing?
I Will Survive.
When you're smiling,
yes.
The whole world smiles with you.
Get in there.
When you're laughing.
I played that this morning.
Then he chucked me out. He asked me for my big performance, and I gave him a big performance, and he boots me out like he's Simon Cowell. Bloody hell.
He's moving us around, Kate. We're not where we should be. And I'm down to 1% now.
Well, Kate's off for a big performance.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Take care.
Take care.
Thanks to Dave. Thanks to Kate. That went to places I wasn't expecting it to. But we will be back. Yes, we will. On Thursday with the preview show. We've got a West Brom, a Baggies fan will be coming on. Somebody that Joey Barton accused of having slanty eyes. Joey Barton. What can you do with him? I'm sure everybody's got an idea. Thanks to everybody that was in the chat. We didn't get to watching and commenting. Really do appreciate it. You've still got time to smash the likes if you would be so kind, and please subscribe as well. If you've been listening via your favorite podcast platform, thank you for lending me your ears. You can have them back now. Take care, and I'll see you on Wednesday at 7 o'clock with Craig and the preview show. Good night.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.